This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. During the week of July 4th, two police shootings took the lives of Alton Sterling in Louisiana and Philandro Castile in Minnesota. Five police officers were killed that same week in Dallas. Those incidents sparked protests and discussions about race across the nation, including here in West Virginia. The following week, West Virginia Public Broadcasting News intern and West Virginia University student Aaliyah Brown sat down with two leaders in West Virginia's Black community to talk about the shootings and their effect on the Black Lives Matter movement. Marjorie Fuller is director of the Center for Black Culture and Research at WVU, and Jihad D. Dixon is a WVU Student Government Association senator and past president of WVU's NAACP chapter. Here's an excerpt of that conversation.
All right, guys, just opening thoughts on the recent shootings and Black Lives Matter. And we'll start with you, Ms. Fuller.
I think that it's time for us to take a moment, to take a pause and look at the situation, not only through the lens of, you know, race, but through an historical lens that allows us to really take a look at how this compares to what we've been through in the past and how we can use that to make for a better future.
Jihad?
It's a lot to take in, and I feel like me as a Black man, I definitely need the support of the community. We definitely need, you know, that reasoning. And we have to, as Ms. Fuller said, we have to look at history and sort of go off that and see where we can go to move forward to make this better.
In Charleston, how, like, what do you see happening in, you know, the Black community and or just around the Charleston area?
We need to go into our communities and talk about this. We need to see how they feel. And it's unfortunate, you know, there's that select few, but we can only do so much. You know, what can I do where I'm remote in Charleston, being a student leader from Charleston, but also in Morgantown? So what can I do statewide?
In Morgantown, with not that many students being on campus, is it more quiet here?
It's been quiet. I think that this is a time that people are taking for a little bit of introspection. And so I'm hoping that when students return to campus, that's what we'll find with them, because this is not going to be over in a month or two. These wounds are very open, you know, but hopefully we won't be pouring salt in them. You know, we will find some healing spaces.
From a generational standpoint, how do you see the Black Lives Matter movement differing from the Civil Rights movement?
When we're talking the two movements, you know, to a certain extent, there was more of an understanding about why the people during the Civil Rights Movement of the 60s were marching. But during our day and time, there's this kind of misrepresentation of equality. And so these young people are not satisfied. They're saying, my life matters. And that's all we're asking for, is that recognition.
And I think it's important for our generation, Aaliyah, to be that, okay, we're passing the baton. I feel like it is up to me to sort of address the subliminal racism that Ms. Fuller was talking about, you know, making sure that they know that police brutality and racial profiling and just recognizing that white privilege is real, making sure that we know that it's real, and making sure that we educate on why Black Lives Matter.
A lot of people don't understand what white privilege is. How do you explain that to somebody?
So white privilege is basically a system where, you know, whites are held to a higher standard, whether it be on purpose, whether it be subliminal. So history stands for that explanation of white privilege, I think.
Well, one of the things that I would say about white privilege is that what that really means is that white people have the privilege to not know. You know, they can go into a grocery store or any other store and not have an expectation that they're going to be followed.
Is it safe to say a different word for privilege would be white comfort?
Well, they live in their privilege. You know, you're walking in your privilege and in your comfort zone.
So I guess, Jihad, how would you explain the fact that why Black Lives Matter needs support from all races and how we'll get everybody on the same page?
It starts with that conversation where we're sort of going in that dialogue where we're educating back and forth. In addition to, I think, it's just the realization that, you know, Black Lives Matter wouldn't be if it wasn't necessary. How do we stop the pain in this nation. Because this is, as Ms. Fuller said, this is a national crisis. This is an attack on our nation.
I think it does start with some type of conversation, and maybe this will drive to the next point of social media. How have you got, are you on social media, Ms. Fuller?
Yes.
like Facebook?
I'm on Facebook. I am a proponent of social media for using it for certain reasons. I really feel that it's gone a little over the top in terms of communication because it takes away sometimes the nuances that we need to actually have legitimate conversation.
For me, I feel like, you know, social media is key for our generation.
Your generation lives and breathes by it.
I just think that it's kind of different because you might not have everybody's number that's on your Facebook account, so you can maybe spread the word quicker.
I agree in that regard, getting information out.
The videos of like the shootings and the police brutality, do you think those are like helpful, or is it just like, ugh, I wouldn't put that there?
No, I think that it is the reason that we're having this national conversation and thus a good thing. I think that it holds people accountable.
Jahai, your thoughts on social media?
So I think it's really that connectivity that we get that's really important for our generation. You know, here in West Virginia, I honestly doubt that we would get real-time information if it wasn't for social media.
How do you think that social media plays a part in the families of the victims?
I really think that social media, or the companies of social media, should, I don't know, maybe... I honestly don't know the solution. I really don't. I mean, you can turn off where it automatically plays, but once it's out there, it's out there.
Ms. Fuller?
This need for this connectivity has its pros and its cons, and I think that's just one of them. We just, it's something that, yes, I feel that there's a negative impact on the families, but the most negative impact that is on the families is what has happened.
There's this hashtag, so what are we going to do? Is there really an answer?
I think that a quick look at the man in the mirror is our first start. We are in the heat of it, but there will some solutions come forward, I believe.
Jahat?
Once we are educated on the struggles of our people, the struggles of this nation, then I feel like we can move on into our communities and mobilizing our communities to, you know, actually come together.
I'm speaking with Jahat D. Dixon, Student Government Association Senator, and Ms. Marjorie Fuller, Director of the Center for Black Culture and Research. And I'm Aaliyah Brown for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Aaliyah.
Thank you.
You can listen to the full conversation at wvpublic.org and on SoundCloud. Search West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:52. Some fog this morning, variable cloudiness today with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 80s, a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. And mostly cloudy, rain and thunderstorms in the forecast for Thursday. Temperatures remaining in the 80s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
Twenty-two-year-old Takia Smith is a student at West Virginia State University, an historically black institution of higher education. Takia says over the past few years, as racial tensions have become more visible across the country, she's become more vocal about the importance of racial justice, but she didn't always like to speak up. While she was in middle and high school in Putnam County, Takia says she did experience racism, but she mostly kept quiet because she didn't want to cause any trouble. Takia shared her experiences as she sat in a Charleston coffee shop.
I went to West Hays, Hurricane Middle, and Hurricane High. Now, I was the only black kid, like, in so many ways. I was called the N-word twice. the first time it happened, it was always like a discussion, but the first time it happened, prior to that, I would have thought it wouldn't have bugged me that bad because, like, I was one of those kids, like, oh, it's just a word, or oh, it's just a big deal, like, and, like, I don't say it, and I don't say it, and, but so if someone called me that, I just think, you know, the classic, they're ignorant and keep it moving, but when I was called that, oh, my God, I remember I cried. It hurt more than I thought it would. I was like, that sucks. I was called the N-word twice during my time there, and one time someone's, like, it was because, you know, it's country guys, this, to be a country guy with a rebel flag and I don't know, boots or whatever, and to spit tobacco, that was like a popular thing to do back then, to spit tobacco, and so they, guys would walk around with, like, these bottles and, like, spitting in this bottle, and I remember the first day of 10th grade, because my mom was, like, struggling to get me signed in because they, like, were trying to tell me that I couldn't even go there. So I was standing outside just kind of waiting to see how things turned out. And someone, like, screamed the N-word and threw their bottle of, like, spit tobacco at me. And, like, that was bad. But the crazy thing, you would think it was, like, this whole scene. Other people heard it. Other people saw it. And, like, no one did anything. And I didn't do anything. Because it was, like, I didn't want to, like, have this big issue. And my mom was struggling to even get me in school, get me enrolled. Because I think they thought, like, I would be this discipline problem. It was obvious why they didn't want it. It was definitely some, like, racism playing out there. They didn't want me to attend there. And so I'm like, if I go and I'm saying that I'm having this issue, then I'm just going to make it harder for me to get in. So it was like, just shut your mouth. Here's an example. So one time, it was like a writing, maybe it was English or something, and we were just sharing our writings, and I said something to the effect of, a real man's promise is just his word. And, like, the whole class, like, loved that. I don't know why, but everyone was, like, moved by that. And then my teacher said, where did you get that? And I was like, I just made it up. And she was like, no, that didn't come from you. You didn't make that up. And I was like, no, I did. And so she's like, no, you didn't, and kept going. It was like something like that, I guess, couldn't have come from me. So, yeah, that sucked. But there were really good things. There were people who were like, so that's one side of it. But, like, it wasn't like it wasn't all bad. I had, like, great friends. I met some of the nicest people. I just the best friends, and I still keep in touch and see with some of them. I met great. I had a teacher there that offered to take me in because I was having issues with, my living situation, and he was a white teacher, and, like, that will forever touch my heart that he offered to do that. There were people who definitely, like, pulled for me, and there was so much love and so much support, but racism totally, totally existed.
That was Takea Smith, a senior at West Virginia State University. Her story was produced by Caitlin Campbell with help from Roxy Todd. You can hear an extended version of this interview on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.